And good morning, Bert. Good morning, Bob. Thank you both for being here. Bob, let's just kick it right off with you. And what do you do as part of the Veterans Justice Outreach Program?
Okay, we had to fill out a work application for the Sheriff's Department. It took like 4 or 5 months to get it. So we've been at this for a while trying to get this set up. But I get a notification from the jail that we have a veteran in there incarcerated for alcohol, drugs, whatever. And so at that point, I meet with him. And
you meet with the vet?
Yeah, I meet with the veteran. Okay. And we end up going to court, whatever. Now, we have everybody's on board, the sheriff, the police chief, district attorney. Everybody's on board with trying to help these guys. They understand that this is not just a spur-of-the-moment thing. This has been going on for years. So they try to give him every benefit of a doubt, and along with the court systems. So anyway, that's how this whole thing starts. And then you go to court with them, and you meet every time that they go to court, you go to court, let them know what we're trying to do. And the Veteran Justice Outreach is a VA program.
Okay.
And it's being run by people in Albuquerque. We're in the Albuquerque district, so that's where it's being run at. And a lady's name is Camilla Lopez, and there's another kid named De Leon. That's the entire state of New Mexico, southern Colorado, western Texas, and eastern Arizona.
Wow. So how did you get involved with this program?
Well, I have one of our veterans, a guy by the name of Dean. I won't mention his last name, but anyway, he just basically said, you know, has anybody ever thought about incarcerated veterans? I said, no, not really. I hadn't paid attention to it, but one of our thing is keeping our promise. That's the DAV's motto, keeping our promise. And VFW's, which I'm a member of also, nobody does more for veterans. So if that's your mottos, then you got to do that whether they're incarcerated or not. So that's how I got started.
Well, I'm curious, actually, maybe I'll hear from each of you. What is that promise that you're talking about?
To take care of veterans, to help them get through to whatever they're going through. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is when the war ends, or you're out of the military or whatever, it doesn't end your mental state.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A lot of them take to trying to find answers in the bottom of a bottle or drugs or whatever. And that's there's a STAR program down in Albuquerque. That's the rehabilitation program down there. It's in-house. And that's where we try to put them. And we've got two that are in there now in the STAR program, but we have two that have already graduated. They've spent the 90 days, and one of them volunteered for another month, needed help more than that. And she's, you know, they're he and she. I mean, It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, Bert, how do you see this fitting into that bigger promise that the VA has for vets?
Well, you know, when you first go in, we've discussed this before, the indoctrination process, and it stays with you forever. And then you go to a combat zone, you come back. You know, you're changed. You're a changed person, and every day is a struggle. Some just don't have, the fortitude maybe to look beyond that and try to help yourself. So they go to resort to drugs, alcohol, a lot of domestic violence kind of stuff. And, and that's exactly where the Justice Outreach Program happened. And it started, I bet you it's been a dozen years ago, there was three guys in Colorado Springs that robbed a convenience store, and they killed some guys. They had all three had been in Desert Storm, had got discharged, and they didn't really have a process. The commander just wrote them off, said, you're out the door, and then these guys end up getting in trouble. They're in prison today, still.
Mm.
Premeditated murder and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, robbery. Serious business.
Yeah, and so that's where this kind of came about, is because, like Bob was saying, these guys get in there and they don't have any support, and that's part of us. we need to support them. I mean, they're all our brothers and sisters. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, right. So, Bob, can you give any specific examples? I'm not asking you to name names of a vet here locally or somewhere that you helped through this system and through this outreach program.
And those are the ones I'm talking to. Like I said, this thing just started here in Montezuma County. We're one of two counties in the entire state to do this. You know, we have this thing is just getting off the ground. I mean, we've gone through several that I can't even help.
Yeah.
Some of them had bad paper. That's, less than honorable discharge or dishonorable discharge. So I can't help them.
So you can't help them unless they've been honorably discharged from the military?
Honorably or generally discharged from the Army for whatever reason, we can help them. And the reason I'm saying this is that they don't have any VA benefits anymore. Once they got a dishonorable discharge or a less than honorable, they don't have any medical, and I have to get them into a STAR program or a rehabilitation program through the VA, and I can't do that. Now, I'm going to give you some numbers here.
Please do.
We have 108 beds here in the county jail.
Okay.
We also have 300 that are in home, not in jail, but they're being monitored.
Like house arrest or something like that.
Now, at $74.75 per inmate per day, I mean, you're talking $4 million or $2 million a year.
Wow.
In just
incarceration.
Yeah.
So this program really is helping in terms of that kind of load on the county and local law enforcement.
Exactly.
I see. Okay.
They, in my humble opinion, and this is just Bob speaking, they belong to the federal government. They brought them in. They trained them. They did whatever they, and then they're out.
Yeah. So they got to keep helping them.
You got to keep helping. You got to keep helping. Or the county's going to.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit then about how a vet gets into the system in whatever way, some sort of crime or something happens with them, they're eligible for this program. You get involved.
Right.
At what point do you step away or you get them involved with one of these programs somewhere and then you can step away, or how does law enforcement stays involved at some level, I'm assuming?
Well, they are. You're under probation, you're doing this, you're going through the court system and everything else, and I actually don't step away. I have my phone. I'm a support system for these guys because you just can't say, okay, hey, you've been to rehab, everything's hunky-dory, peachy-keeno now, and that ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a constant day by day by day by day, so... Mm-hmm. I have my phone on me. They call me no matter what time of day or night if they need some support.
And do you work with families of vets as well?
Exactly.
Or just the vets? You do work with families
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah. And do they just call you when they need information support of some kind?
I leave them my number. I leave the incarcerated veteran, I leave him my number so he can pass that on to his loved ones, or they'll give it to me so I can talk to them and see how I can support them.
All right.
That's part of that. That's part of the support system you were asking about before. So we don't ever let them go. We try not to. So we get them involved with the organizations, Project Outreach. That was part of its responsibility is to keep them involved. I mean, there's stuff that goes on their crafts and other activities, things like that, so they have some place to go instead of the club, the bar, that kind of stuff. So that it's like Bob says, we're never done. Sometimes it's a burden because it's like you feel like a dad, and these are all your children, that kind of stuff. It is. It's really tough. And Bob's taking on a major responsibility for us in this area for veterans, and I think sometimes some vets just don't understand his commitment to taking care of and making sure we fulfill those promises.
Well, Bob, do you feel like there are enough resources for veterans in this capacity in terms of, you know, you're spread pretty thin over, you said you're only one of two in Colorado. And
exactly.
Even regionally, there's not a lot of folks in this system. Do you feel like more resources need to be devoted to it?
That's up to this is a VA program. We just volunteered to do this. Got all the people concerned in the county together, and they said they would support it, and they've helped us a long, long way.
Yeah. Does the VA actually fund the county through this program, or
is it all volunteer? Right. It's all volunteer. I'd love to see every county. In fact, I've written to Scott Tipton about, you know, we have service officers for every county.
Right. 62. Rick Torres here in Montezuma County.
Yeah, Montezuma County. And so we just, I'd love to see every county be able to do the same thing. It would cut the amount of money that's being spent by the county to keep these guys incarcerated and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's the other thing is, you know, the word volunteer means volunteer, like at the radio station or something, you know.
We know that,
but,
yeah.
Yeah. But people still think that we get paid, and there's probably people out there think that Bob gets compensation for this, and he doesn't.
Yeah. Well, Bob, thanks for your service.
Thanks
for volunteering.
You're welcome. I'd do it again.
Right on. You've been listening to KSJD's Veterans Affairs program. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning I've been talking with Bert Valencia from local VFW Post 5231 and Bob Sanders, who's also part of local VFW Post 5231, and he is also part of the Veterans Justice Outreach Program. Thanks for listening to KSJD.